The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of RIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi. He is going to talk about Palestinian resistance and the brutal attack of Israel on Gaza Strip.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In today's khutbah, I would like to once more reflect on the situation going on in the Middle East from a very different perspective, and that is about, you know, exposure of this hypocrisy of the Western powers when it comes to the issue of free speech and expression. We hear all the time that, you know, the Western democracies are based on certain values and principles, and one of the most important one is the free speech. Even when we talk about the issues regarding the Quran and the Prophet, and when we say that, you know, we don't have a problem with academic, you know, criticism of Islam, this happens all the time on an academic level. Universities have books, you know, criticizing Islam or even the Prophet in different ways. We don't have a problem with that. But when abusive terms are used about the Prophet, immediately we are told, well, you live in a society where freedom of speech is one of the cardinal values. And this is what we see, that, you know, it seems only it's for them. Unfortunately, I have to use those terms now. You know, and this is where we see, for example, any discussion about the root cause of this conflict going on in the Middle East at the moment, this is absolutely not allowed. To the extent that, you know, you have anyone who talks about it, that you cannot just look at it as an event which happened now, you have to look at the root cause and the decades of occupation of the Palestinian land. Even the Secretary General of the United Nations, in his statement, he very clearly first, you know, condemned the attack by Hamas on the civilians. And then he talked about this issue of prolonged occupation of the Palestinian people as one of the, you know, root causes. And we see right away, he was very rudely rebuked by the Israeli ambassador. And there is also calls now for him to resign for that. I don't think that will happen, but, you know, even at that level, the Secretary General of UN is not allowed to speak his mind on these issues. Look at the other example of some of the prominent Muslim journalists in U.S. All of a sudden, they have been reassigned different duties. The programs that they used to run and they were right there in the front, now they have been reassigned. So it's not saying that, oh, you know, we are censoring you, but it is in a way censoring them so that they would not be there speaking in the front. On a political arena, look at Ontario itself. You have this MPP from Hamilton, Sarah Jama, coming from black, you know, African background. And she, as soon as the conflict started, in social media, she called for ceasefire. And she basically labeled Israeli actions as a definition of apartheid, what's going on there. Of course, initially she didn't mention anything about Hamas attack. And this is where Premier Ford accused her of being anti-Semite. And this is where we see that, of course, she was forced to apologize next day. And then she condemned the attack by Hamas also. But that was not the end of the story. You know, because Ford has a majority in the Ontario legislation, they went with their numbers there to censor Jama and silence her voice in the chamber. Surprisingly, even her own party, NDP, expelled her from the caucus. You know, it's not only on the level of UN or the media. Even when you talk about legislatures where the people should be free to see whatever they want to say, you look at the academia. You know, student unions in various universities in US and Canada has also expressed their support for the suffering of the Palestinian people. And immediately there was pressure from the donors and others to basically for the student unions to retract their statement because they basically sympathize with the suffering of the Palestinian people. The example we have here is of York University. In US, at Howard University, you have 30 student groups who together, you know, issued statement where they held Israel entirely responsible for what is happening. And, you know, the attack against them started at different levels. Even though their names was not there, you know, they figured out who are the executive of the student unions, and their personal details were then shared on the online. Even their siblings back home have been threatened. And the donors basically are saying to the university, we are going to pull back our support and donation on this issue. And some of the prominent, you know, companies and the executives are asking universities to give the list of the students who have signed on it so that we will not hire them. So you have the academia, you have the political arena, you have the media, you have a global organization, even our own hospital, in our own area. You know, a doctor who apparently is not a Muslim or an Arab, he basically in his Twitter post supported the Palestinians. And the pressure was that, you know, he was suspended from his duties. But then this is where we have to realize the other side. When Muslim groups and other, you know, Justice for Peace and other groups basically started asking for support letters for him, you know, and the numbers increased so much that the hospital was forced to reverse its decision to suspend him. And so when we talk about, you know, signing on the letters and things like that, it's not just useless, it has an impact. And so let us always keep in mind, we have many good things here. We have freedom in a great extent compared to many, many Muslim countries, no doubt about that. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. You know, for me also just to stand here and talk about all these issues itself is a blessing. You know, we can't do this in many, many other, even Muslim countries. And this is where, but we should not ignore that. The reality that the words like democracy, human rights, and free speech are just slogans used by the powers here. Whenever their interest suits them, these cards come up. You know, whenever it's not in their interest, they are allies of those who are most undemocratic rulers in the world, who are the worst violators of human rights, and who do not respect free speech at all in their own countries. And they are friends with all those kinds of regimes also. And so let us not, you know, always just look at one side. We should have a, you know, full view of the society in which we are living, and also the point of what happened to this doctor in the hospital is important, that we need to also be, you know, get engaged in whatever we can, so that, you know, haq will inshallah prevail one day.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last. than tomorrow. We all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.